Well, you know, it's interesting. Of all the tools that are available to a pastor as he prepares a sermon, language tools, commentaries, histories, and they, you know, now they've become increasingly technical, and you've got software programs that help a pastor prepare for a sermon. There still is one tool that is not available and never really will be. And that tool is an X-ray machine that helps me see what's going on inside of you, right? Because as much as I want to prepare and come up with the words, the reality is that you're here listening. And you came in here this morning with something on your mind. And odds are that something wasn't some deep theological question like the nature of the hypostatic union or delving into the mystery of the Trinity. Odds are the things that you came in here this morning with are everyday life kind of things. And we're in this series here at Resurrection where we are trying to take a look at Jesus in everyday life. And it hit me as I was pondering that, how many times Jesus taught, and they weren't like this. Instead, they were everyday life encounters. And so I'm thankful that the gospel is not just some textbook or some theological encyclopedia, although those truths matter. They do. I'm not down on theology at all. But I'm thankful that the gospel leads us to everyday life, and I'm thankful for it because that is where you live, and that is where I live, and that is where Jesus wants to meet us. And so this morning, what I want to look at is an everyday problem. You may not be having it this morning, but you may. And is the simple problem of being stuck. Being stuck. You know that experience where you're caught in a dilemma that just doesn't seem to go away? When you want things to change and you want them to be different, but for some reason, they're just not. Maybe your job. Maybe you hate your job. But you gotta do it because you gotta make money. Maybe you're frustrated this morning because you want your spouse to be different, but they don't seem to change. Or maybe you're sick of whatever your situation is in life, but it just keeps going on. And if you were at all honest, what you would say is, if you wanna know how I feel stuck. Well, this experience of being stuck, I think, is exactly where the gospel reading takes us today. Because we encounter a man who felt stuck for 38 years. And I want to take a look at this encounter, and I want us, particularly where I'm going to lead us to, is I want us to look at how Jesus interacted with him. Because my hunch is when we zero in on that and we begin to look at that, we will begin to see maybe a spot where Jesus is working on us in our everyday life. But before I get there, I want to just kind of draw out two observations that as you read this text in John chapter 5, that it's probably worth your time understanding, okay? Because I think it will give you greater insight into this story. The first observation or question is, what is the deal with this pool and the moving waters, right? But you know, it talks about this guy kind of waiting for the waters to heal him, and it's important to get our heads around it. And the word Bethesda is kind of a word of like, you know, flowing waters. It kind of means something along those lines. And what these pools were, okay, was that it was sort of a reservoir system within the city gates of Jerusalem. And these two pools, they were actually two pools. And they were by the sheep gate, where the sheep would come in and out of Jerusalem. So they were in a far corner of Jerusalem. There were two pools, okay? And each pool had porches kind of on each side of it. And then there was a porch in the middle of it. And so you've got two pools, five porches. And what would happen is that, you know, a lot of the sick and lame people of that day would gather kind of under those porches. And they would gather there because, I guess, legend had had it that an angel would stir the waters. Now, the text, if you read this in certain translations, they'll talk about this angel stirring the waters. This text leaves it out, and I think for good reason, because most people think that was kind of added on later. Really, what they think happened was that these pools, though they were part of the reservoir system, were fed by these intermittent springs that would sometimes come into the pool and cause it to bubble up. And that bubbling up, people began to think, you know, maybe I'll get healed. So they would kind of rush to jump in when the water would bubble up. And that's what led this guy to being there. It says this guy had been sick for 38 years. Now, you know, you kind of read this at first blush and you're kind of like, was he laying by the sides of these pools for 38 years? No, he probably wasn't. But he probably found a way and a time to kind of get out there when he thought the pools would bubble up. Maybe in the spring, maybe certain times after rains or whatever, kind of word on the street was the pools may bubble, so everyone kind of got there. And he got there, and he had been doing this for 38 years. Now, we sort of assume he was paralyzed because Jesus, in his healing, says, pick up your mat and walk. But in actuality, we don't know what was wrong with him. The text actually just says that he's ill. It had previously listed, you know, the afflictions that most of the people around the pool had, and it says he was ill. Now, he very well may have been paralyzed, again, because he's laying there, and Jesus says, get up and walk. But you do have to ask yourself, he was mobile in some way, whether people helped him or not, because his big dilemma is, I'm trying to get to the water, but people beat me to it. So could he walk? Could he move at some level? What was his problem? We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is he was stuck. He was stuck in this condition for 38 years. And now I want to zero in on kind of like Jesus's interaction with this guy. Because I think in Jesus's interaction is where it really begins to hit home for us and for you if you walked in this morning with the everyday experience of feeling stuck. What does Jesus do with this guy? Simply put, he asks the guy something, a question, he commands the guy, he disappears for a while, and then he comes back. That's kind of the broad outline of what Jesus did. But I think in that broad outline emerges a thought that it would be good for you to ponder, especially if you came in here stuck. I think the first step to getting unstuck is getting clarity on what you want. What do you want? Jesus looks at this guy and he says, what do you want? See, very often when you have experienced being stuck in life and when your circumstances seem to have hemmed you in such a way that it is slowly tearing your spirit away, you quickly lose sight of, do you not, what it is you actually want. And very often what you think you want is a change in circumstances. But the change in circumstances isn't totally what you want. You very often want something even deeper than that. But the experience of being stuck has made you sort of kind of lose sight of that. And so Jesus looks at this guy and he asks him a really great question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? What do you want? Look, you're stuck, and the only way you'll start getting unstuck is if you get some clarity on what it is you want. Finding Jesus in your everyday life means that you need to adjust your focus. You see, very often what happens to us is our focus when we're stuck is on what is in our way. And when that becomes our focus, it is very difficult to get in touch with what you want. Let me give you an example from my own life. You know, I want to be a better dad. And I promise I will just as soon as my kids get their act together. Right? Am I right? Like that, you know, you're stuck. If that's the way you're terming your wants, describing your wants, you're forever stuck. Because who has control in that scenario? My kids do. No, the question for me in the midst of feeling stuck as a dad is, what do I want? What do I want in this relationship? And I think sometimes Jesus is like, you want me to help you? Well, tell me what you really want. Don't tell me what's in your way. Don't tell me, what do you really want? You know, like I always tell you, I know where God lives. God lives at the end of your rope. But there's another place where God lives. He lives at the place of your truest desires. And when you begin to really articulate what you want, you're going to be shocked at how present Jesus is right there. Now, do you always get what you want? No. You don't. I wish I could tell you it's true. But I'll tell you this. Start to really wrestle. To wrestle with God over what you truly want is a noble fight, and you will never emerge the same. And let me throw this in too. You'd be shocked at those moments where you feel so stuck and you finally get clarity in what it is that you want. You're going to be shocked at how quickly Jesus moves in and your circumstances begin to change. Okay? Does it happen all the time? Nope. But it happens a lot more than you think it does. Okay? What do you really want? This has been working on me all week. So I'm glad I'm dumping it on you now, right? But you know, just Friday, okay? Just Friday, I had kind of one of those days at work where I just didn't like I love my job, but this, you know, things didn't go well. Groups I led were kind of People didn't seem to care. All sorts of dynamics going on. God, what am I doing, you know? I hate my job. That's why I remember just kind of wrestling. I called my wife to whine about it. And I'm like, I remember at one point I'm working on the sermon, you know, so I'm like, okay, what do I want? And I remember thinking, okay, I remember saying to my wife, I want to help people. Like, what I really want is for God to use me to make a difference. That's what I want. And I've been focusing on all this other stuff. That's what I want. So listen to what happened. So that's what I said at 10 a.m. on Friday. At 3 p.m. on Friday, I have a single office, and I share space with this property management company. They're nice enough to give me one free office, which is awesome. I'm actually in the old Towson jail. It's a really cool building. Okay, it's true. It's a really cool building. And you know, so I don't you know, I don't know all the people that work in this company. I mean, I try to be a good, like, office neighbor and all that stuff. They're, you know, best I can tell, they don't really have much faith. But I'm sitting there Friday at 3, and I hear the woman who is kind of catty corner to me, I hear her talking to someone else that she's going to be away next week, and she's going to have a surgery. And I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing this, and I can kind of hear Jesus say, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Why don't you walk over to her door and ask her what's going on? So I did. You know, and then she proceeded to open up. I proceeded to, like, tell her I'd pray for her. And I go back and I'm like, I got, you know, I went and I printed out Psalm 23. And I said, you know, when my mind's racing, this psalm really helps me. If it doesn't help you, I'm not offended. I didn't write it, you know. But like, you know, if it helps, like, great. You know? And as she's walking out the door, I mean, she gave me a smile and said, thanks. Have a great weekend. Okay? What do you really want? Like, I want to help people. Really? Okay. Glad we got that on the table. Right? See, when you feel stuck, very often you just kind of obsess over the circumstances, and Jesus is asking you a deeper question. What do you want? What do you want? And then there's one other level that goes to it, and I've kind of been alluding to it a lot up until now. But very often, the thing that clouds us from getting in touch with what we want and feeling unstuck is we begin to obsess over one vehicle that we're sure is going to deliver what we want. And we obsess over it. In this case, for this guy, his obsession was this water, this bubbling water. He thought he wanted to get well, and he was sure that the bubbling water would be what got him well. And this is where I think very often when you're feeling stuck and Jesus begins to articulate, you begin to articulate to Jesus what it is you want, Jesus will then push you to a crisis of faith. Because what Jesus said is, you want to get well? He's like, yeah, but the water, it's not working out. He's like, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't say, let me explore your doubts. Let's do a little scientific study on this healing power of bubbling water. He didn't do any of that. You know what he said? He said, pick up your mat and walk. And here's the thing. This guy in that moment had to make a decision. The water or what this guy is saying? The water or what this guy is saying? Which one do I believe? See, when you're feeling stuck, very often Jesus will say, okay, do you know what you want? Find what you want. Now answer this question. What are you trusting in? Do you trust me? Pick up your mat and walk. He moves you to this crisis of faith. And you have to ask yourself, do I believe him? Listen. Once you've articulated what you want, very quickly what you'll see is that you have placed your trust in something else to deliver to you. And you've got to step back and ask yourself this. Do I believe what Jesus says? Do I believe he loves me unconditionally? Do I believe I'm a sinner in need of his grace? Do I believe that the Holy Spirit is present for me right now? Do I really believe I'm supposed to go love my neighbor? See, what do you want? Jesus, I want to help people. And I want to help people in this way. I want to have these productive groups. Now he says, hey, I'll tell you what. There's a neighbor. Go love them. Okay? Very often, Jesus will move you, right? This is everyday life. I'm telling you, this is where you live. What's the stirring water in your life? What's the bubbling water that you are so sure is going to make it all better? Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. Now listen, life is complex, I know. Sometimes we have real clarity with what we want and we still don't get what we want, you know? This is not a one-size-fits-all sermon. Jesus understood that. Not long after this, he was in the garden, you know, asked, he wanted the disciples to stay awake with him. They didn't. He wanted his Father to keep him from drinking this cup. He didn't. Sometimes, even with clarity, you don't get what you want, okay? And that's a real problem, and that's a message for another day. But this is about being stuck. And if your problem is being stuck, then I think Jesus is saying, what is it you want? And do you trust me? Okay? Is he saying to you, pick up your mat and walk? And can you believe him? Therein lies the question, resurrection. And if you answer it, you may not be stuck anymore. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the everyday reality of following you. And I thank you that you push us into these moments. And I know this week there's places that I have felt stuck as a parent. I've felt stuck at work. And there's a lot of bubbling water in my world, Lord, that just sort of entices me to think that that's the answer. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to see that you are the answer. And that what you say about us and what you say about life is what we can hold on to. Lord, I pray for the souls here this morning. I pray that you would give them clarity about what it is they really want. And then give them the ability to hear your word for them and to trust them. Thank you that you care about our lives. And may our lives bring you glory. Amen.